I get to share the word with you this morning. I'm excited to get to do that. And I mean, you've heard it already. My heart's desire is that you would know Jesus and you would desire him too. And so last week, Pastor Matt, he covered and started the topic of Colossians. If you don't know, we've been working through for quite some time now, the God story, we call it. And we've been going from book to book through the whole Bible, working through looking at God's story for us and what God was doing through the Bible as well. And we're landing ourselves in Colossians this morning. And last week, Pastor Matt, he covered Paul's introduction into the church of Colossae. Paul reminds us in this book that this church, they need to understand the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And he's encouraging them not to steer away from that reality. And I'm sure we are aware that the pressures from culture are great on this church as well. We've heard it across all the churches almost that we've been reading about in Scripture, that the pressure from culture is great. And Paul, he doesn't want them to veer off course here. And for today, I want to lead us somewhere special. And maybe you've been attending for some time and you know the past 4 months, we've been working through a lot of Paul's letters. And maybe you think of that and go, man, do we have to hear another thing on the same topic? Do we have to hear Pastor Nathan say the same thing again? Yes, you do. But it's good because one, it acts as a reminder. It acts as a reminder to our hearts of where we stand with Jesus, how we need Jesus in our life, and what Jesus wants to do in our life. It's a transformation. All of us know we've all grown at some point in our life. Growth needs influence. We need to be influenced by his word to grow in the way that Jesus wants us to, that he's asking of us to. And so, yes, we'll hear same themes. We'll hear similar things that we've talked about. But the second part of today that we're going to do is at the end of this, at the end of my sermon, I want us to actually interact with Paul's teachings. I want to interact with what he's trying to get us to understand and give you a chance to connect with God this morning. So would you open your hearts to God as we go there together? Paul's whole thing in this book of Colossians is he wants to remind the Colossians that the good news, the work of Jesus, is alive and well today. It is in that time, in this time today too. And it's a good basis to start on because Paul writes, and we read this also in more than one instance, he talks about God's plan being a mystery. And when he says this mystery, and when he says it's revealed, this is what he says. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. A lot of times I'm asked, is Jesus working for me? They'll ask me, people will ask me, is Jesus for me? Is Jesus working for me? Is Jesus right? Is Christianity good? Is this thing's okay? And a lot of times it's actually Christians who are asking that to me, not necessarily people who aren't Christians. And for those people, I say to them, this is what you need to read. This is the secret. Christ lives in you. That is the only assurance I can give you as a human being. But more than that, this is the only assurance God gives you too, that Christ is in you. When you choose Jesus, he lives in you. This is your assurance. And this is not done by your hands, not by someone praying over you, but by God, by Jesus entering into your life. And he is there now. You can't separate from that. And that's what Paul wants them to know. And when you read Paul's letters, like I've said before, you see themes continuously repeat themselves. Themes of unity, the work of the Spirit, the new family you're invited into when you choose Jesus, the inclusion of everyone into the work of Christ. And Paul revisits these themes because I think these are the themes we lose so often and so fast in our lives. Because yes, the scriptures are big. The Bible is big. There's lots to read, lots to understand. And we can't lose sight of these little things in our lives that we have to continuously come back to know where we stand with Jesus, where we are with him. And the good thing is we don't have to treasure hunt sometimes, you know? Like we don't have to go mining for secret meanings behind what's being said or understand all the Greek because the Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew. We don't have to understand it all to get to the heart of what Jesus wants to do, what he's inviting us into. Paul's concern for a lot of churches, he writes that he doesn't want them to be too caught up in one side or the other, the side of culture, and we hear that quite often, but Paul also labels a side that's equally as dangerous, a religious side, to not get too caught up in religiosity. And as he puts it, each side, there's compromise on both sides. He doesn't want us to be too swayed on one side that we lose sight of Jesus. And we'll get into that in a minute because Paul writes about the Gentiles. He writes this, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. That's awesome, isn't that? Ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan. He says it again, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. In Christ himself lies all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And as you learn Jesus' life, his teachings, as that becomes a part of you, you begin to realize the areas of life, whether it's on the too far of the religious side or too far of the culture side, you start to see where things aren't like Jesus. And it gets a little easier. I can say it. It's true that when you live so close to Jesus, if he is all that you want, you'll see. You'll see him in your life. In Jesus, I can't say it any other way, in Jesus is all we need. In him is all that we need. Jesus, he's the fulfillment of the law. The law is the Old Testament, what God had set out for the Israelites in the Old Testament to make them his chosen people, how they would be distinguished. That's a good thing. It is a good thing. But in Jesus, that's fulfilled. And he's breaking the spiritual ties we would have had to stay to in this Old Testament law. He breaks those ties off and lets us walk free to be with Jesus here and now as he lives in us. He is the fulfillment. And something I just thank God for so often in my life, maybe you don't know this, maybe you wouldn't have ever guessed it, but I was like a crazy angry teenager and young adult, like crazy angry. I'm not proud of it by any means. I would just respond to everything with anger. I would yell at my mom, scream at my sister, and I know they're going to watch this, so it's funny because I talk about it with them all the time. I would scream at them for no reason other than stubbornness and thinking I was always right all the time. And maybe you're like, okay, every teenager ever. So no, not maybe it isn't you here, but it does sound familiar maybe that a lot of teenagers are like that. But for me, it was different. For me, it gripped me in everything that I did. I could just wake up angry, go to sleep angry, everything I did. And I asked God, God, please, would you work on me? Would you take that away? And I just don't get angry often anymore. Okay, if you see me watching sports, it's a different story, but yeah, it's a different kind of anger, you know? God worked it, and he took it away. In him, I found answers. I found things of the person I didn't want to be, the person I didn't see my life being years down the road. Jesus helped, and only did Jesus help. Only was it him. And I love how Paul uses this word, treasures of wisdom. And he uses it more than once to describe our relationship with God, that these treasures, they're not concealed to us. Treasures, they're not just like completely hidden, not findable. Archaeologists are finding crazy things across the world. They're not concealed. They're waiting to be found. They're waiting for you to find in Jesus, in his life, in his teachings, in his word. Everything about Jesus is our hope. The life he lived is our hope that there is good yet to come. In him is hope that there will be no sin no more. Everything is in him. We've heard, we've seen. We can look around and know that Jesus is in one another. And the trail never ends. There's more and more to discover, more and more to dive into in your walk with Jesus. Paul's big encouragement for everyone in the church is this: and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow in thankfulness. Oh man, I want to get to this place. I want to live with overflowing thankfulness. And no, I'm not always like that, and I want to be, and it's in him. You see, the Colossians, they're too easily swayed. They're too easily put to one side because there's well-crafted arguments Paul's already told us about. And so Paul wants them to root themselves deep in Jesus' teachings, root themselves deep in who he is. Let their lives be built on him. And as you do that, your faith will grow strong. It's amazing how it works. If there's any kind of blueprint in Scripture on how to grow with Jesus, this would be it. Grow deep into him. Let your roots grow down deep like a tree that cannot be moved. This tree in the yard is humongous. The roots are like going through the playground, and I can look down and feel it in the ground. I'm like, oh my goodness, this thing's crazy. And it is, it's deep. Grow deep in Jesus. But again, Paul also warns them that these pressures they're falling into, each side of them, they're dangerous. On one side, there's the side of culture, where there's pressures of a polytheistic society, which just means that there's many other gods being worshipped, many other deities being worshipped in this culture. And in the culture of Colossae, it was like many other cities that we've heard about, the city of Rome, the city of Galatians, all of those ones, where they're following many other gods, whether it was money or sex or music, and they would just include Jesus. This is what was happening. They would include Jesus among the other deities that are there. And this is just a fancy way to say these are idols in people's lives that they were putting above Jesus. They're saying, oh, I can serve these things too. And Jesus would fall on the wayside. And they wouldn't see the change they wanted. They wouldn't find hope. They would keep falling into the same patterns, whatever that they were in. And these gods, they were enticing. These deities, of course it is. Money, that's great. Pleasure, absolutely. Success, don't mind if I do. And these idols, they weren't making room for Jesus. And Paul's like, you can't let yourselves get there. You can't stay in that place. And yes, Paul understood that that's the culture. The Christian church in that time was vastly the majority, or minority, sorry. So yes, he knew that they would be overwhelmed with culture at all times, but again, root yourselves deep. But on the other side as well, Paul also knew the pressures to observe and obey the law. That in that time, there was a lot of Jewish people in the churches that were the Gentiles were trying to come into and join and learn about Jesus. And these Jewish people were putting pressures on them, being like, you have to do this. You can't say that. You can't eat that. You can't talk that way. They're doing all these things. And he's like, hey, that is as much compromising to knowing Jesus as it is being in culture. Wow, isn't that interesting? Jesus is perfect. He's the middle ground. He's the greatest place we could be. But the good thing I want you to know too is that Paul, he never bashes the law. He never says it's a bad thing. So doing the religious practices, following Jesus's practices he did, those aren't bad things. But if you recall in the book of Galatians that we went through, one of the problems Paul addressed was the Jewish religion that was inviting Gentiles in. They were trying to get them to adhere strictly to the Jewish customs, the law, the Torah, the guidelines that God had given them for living a holy life. The way they were doing it wasn't welcoming. It wasn't welcoming at all. It was so strict. And Paul's like, come on, this all isn't necessary. What is necessary is knowing Christ. That will do way more than any of that will ever do. And if that comes along, amazing. Because Paul himself, he lived out the law. He practiced the law. He did that as well. And now he's saying, hey, let people know Jesus. Let them come to him. For Paul to give into either of these temptations was a failure to grasp who Jesus really is and what he did on their behalf. From the beginning of people knowing Jesus, these were both dangerous places. To still live in culture or to be just dragged and chucked in and said, you're not living good enough, you're not doing good enough, you're not doing the right things. They were both dangerous. Because what Jesus can do for us is so much more than any human concept, any human thought. Jesus will and is doing more. Paul writes, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, so you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. This union with Christ, to be joined with him, to have Jesus in your life, it's not something small. It's not a byproduct of worshiping God. It's not a mere benefit of following God. Not just a bonus. It is the goal of knowing God, to have Jesus in your life. This union, to know this union. And I'll say it again, because all we need is found in Jesus. To know that your union is not based on a religious fulfillment, no rules, no spiritual powers, nothing can get in the way of this union. Nothing. Jesus has made a way for us to be with God. And just a side note here, I think what Paul is saying as well is who we listen to matters greatly. Who we let speak into our lives, not just people, in the room around us. Well, this is a pretty good room. You guys are all pretty awesome. But I'm talking about, to just say it outright, social media. We got to be so careful. It's a dangerous place because we hear all sorts of sides, opinions that are catered to literally just make us hear what we want to hear. That's what social media does. It's a crazy when you think of the algorithms and how it works and the science behind it. It's not planning to do all that good to us. And yes, there's good that happens through it. There's amazing Christian influencers that are helping and supporting in that realm of the world, but there's also a lot that are doing a lot of danger and a lot of harm. And so I just urge you, be careful. I'm sure Paul would have a thing or two to say about social media if he was writing to the Church of Kamloops. So I urge you in the same way, be careful. Go to his word. When you hear something, is it like Jesus? When you see something, is it like Jesus? We can't lose sight of Jesus. He is the main mold, the cornerstone, what the house and the foundation is built on. Do not lose sight of Jesus. Is the way you speak, the way you act, is it because someone's telling you to act that way, or is it because how Jesus acted that way? Look to him. Look to Jesus, because Paul's warning, it flows to us today, to not let ourselves be captured by things that come from human thinking or from the spiritual powers of this world. Let it be from Christ. Let it be the power of his resurrection that leads every facet of your life. And Paul doesn't list specifics. He doesn't list the philosophies in the Bible. He doesn't list what they're falling into because he knows they're just going to keep happening. They're going to keep showing up. This is the human nature, the human way. And then Paul, he says, this is where we stand. And he writes this. He states, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God. Side note again, awesome to the people who got baptized last week. This speaks this morning. Yeah. This is where you stand. This is, so back to it, who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he on the cross. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths, for these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. Christ himself is that reality. And Paul, he just kind of gives us a little bit of a progression here of where we stand with Jesus. We start by being not alive. We're not alive with him, and not we're dead because of our sins is how he puts it. And not physically dead, but lifeless, living without motion, just kind of moving on, doing the motions, whatever it is, but made alive through Christ. Instantly, you invite him in. You see change. When you say, Jesus, I need you, he responds. He will not hide. He will be there. So I ask, do you know you are forgiven? If you've invited him into your life, did you know your sins are forgiven? They're not holding on to you. Yes, there's sins you might still struggle with, but they're forgiven. And you can leave them and you can be done with them by the power of Jesus. By his power. You can be done with them. Because the second stance is this. We then stand in front of him where he's canceled the record of charges against us. By taking those sins to the cross, sin needs to be dealt with. It has to be. In this world, sin needs to be taken care of. Because if we hope for a world, if we hope for a world where there's no harm, no danger, no sickness, no sadness, no sorrow, no depression, sin's gotta go. It's gotta be done with. And so God will deal with it. And there was a record of that sin on our lives that is no longer. Jesus has washed us clean. He's taken it away. This good news, my friends, that he has done that today. And through Jesus, he has. And for those who believe in him, believe in his grace and mercy, who put their active faith in him, they too will be pardoned because of Jesus. There's nothing tied to you. He's dealt it with it all. And because of this clean record, we're not tied to any spiritual power or what the law would require of us. It's fulfilled. And if we were to follow it, it's only for the benefit of knowing Jesus more, going closer to him, closer to God's image, but with different motives. Not the motive of being clean and righteous, but the motive of knowing him. This is Paul's whole thing. He wants you to know it's knowing Jesus that counts. It's knowing and being with him. Christ is the goal of any religious practice. Because let me say it this way, and I had to get over this hump. This took me a while to understand. Practicing prayer will not promise you answers, but it will promise you Jesus. Practicing Sabbath, if you don't know what the Sabbath is, it's an old practice where they would once a week do nothing, no work, nothing, shut everything off in the house for a day of rest. But can I tell you, practicing Sabbath won't promise rest, but it will promise Jesus. Practicing coming to church won't ensure you that your sins will go away the next day, but they will promise you Jesus. We can't look at them wrong. And then when I get to practice prayer and find Jesus, sometimes he gives me those answers, and it's a bonus. Or when I practice Sabbath, when I get to try and get some rest, because this life is busy, young adult, you know what I mean. When I get to practice Sabbath, I get to experience rest because I found Jesus there. It's not for any other reason that I'm trying to be a better Christian or do any of that for any reason other than I get to find Jesus, my Father and my Savior. And it's beautiful when you can look at it that way rather than trying to fulfill something. And like I said before, Paul, he never condemned the law. He practiced it himself. The law was good. It was to show people how to live in the bounds of God, to live and act as he wanted us to be transformed from the heart out. That was the whole heart of the law, to transform God's people, to live as God's chosen people. That was the heart of it all. And Paul, he goes on to write, you have died with Christ and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Interesting, hey? as much discipline as you have, as much self-denial as you have, if you hope to see the evil in your heart gone, the things in your life that you know aren't like Jesus, it's not going to be by you. It's not going to be by your hands. It's His and His alone in Jesus. And if I can confess something to you this morning, I always thought that that truth was trivial, that I had to, it was up to me. I'm the failure. I'm the one messing up. I'm the one not doing good enough, that I need to get these things out of my life as fast as I can. I truly thought it was up to me. And I thought, Jesus, he's already in my life. So yeah, he's doing his thing. And I hear this truth today. It's like it's the first time I've ever heard it. It's not up to you. That's good. It's not up to you. Look to him. Look to Jesus. If there's something that's holding on to you, you've been trying to get rid of for so long, it's not up to you. Yes, you can join with him and say, God, take it away. I'm done with it. It's yours. Look to his power. Look to his truth. Look to his ways. Look to the beautiful, beautiful Jesus, and he will bring it to you.